Aston Villa will be playing Champions League football next season. Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, Aston Villa will be playing Champions League football next season. Ah, I can't believe it, guys. It's obviously the night after the Liverpool game. Monday night football, Tuesday night football has just finished. Manchester City have beaten Spurs, which means that we are in the Champions League. Apologies for us not appearing in your sub boxes last night. We just hedged our bets and thought that this would be a much more entertaining podcast to record with this news now, mate, didn't we?
Mate, and weren't we right? And weren't we right? Boy, oh boy, these are podcasts I never thought we'd get to record, mate. These are podcasts that I bet you guys listening never thought you'd get to hear. It certainly hasn't. I mean, this is like the game is basically just wrapped up, right? And it definitely hasn't sunk in yet. And it definitely, like, I'm just seeing, like, scrolling through social and seeing people just put the Villa badge next to, like, Champions League badge, and it, like, my brain just can't process that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. It's going to be very, very difficult to talk about the game yesterday. It kind of feels irrelevant. The game of the weekend certainly feels irrelevant. I don't know if people have seen the kind of footage that's going around. Obviously, the Villa players had their awards night tonight, so everybody all in one space. They were watching the Spurs City game on the big screen, and as the final whistle went, there's champagne bottles being, like, sprays going everywhere. Unai's soaked, Emi Martinez is soaked. If anybody listens to this podcast is a betting man, put every penny you've got on Crystal Palace beating Aston Villa at the weekend. If we manage to get a squad to that game, we've done well. I think these celebrations will go on long into the night. As long as someone can curtail them, give them a curfew of maybe midnight, I think we'll be doing okay.
Oh, mate, the celebrations are great. I mean, you've got that iconic photo of Unai, arms in the air, Monchi pumping his fists. It's brilliant. What a night to celebrate not only the end of season awards, but the accomplishments of this squad. It cannot go unnoticed. And, you know, Villa are back in the big time. This is insane. Everybody should be on watch. Unai Emery, you have worked wonders. I mean, Dan, we started doing this podcast, I mean, you know, the heart of the whole YouTube channel was around for quite a while. Obviously, yourself and I heavily involved in the startup of that, but the Villa Filler podcast specifically was born in the sort of, as you know it today, I guess, in the Dean Smith Championship season.
Yeah.
For us to have gone from sitting in my flat in Manchester, from sitting in the lecture rooms with Mike the Lizard. Shout out to anybody who remembers Mike the Lizard. You know, helping us set up the podcast and talking about, you know, just championship football to now Champions League. The journey's remarkable. I don't think, you know, if you'd have told us both as second year uni students that that's what we would be doing in 5-6 years' time, we'd have laughed at ourselves, mate, wouldn't we? The journey's been mad, the trajectory the club's been on. And in that same sort of breath, I feel like it's only right to thank all of those who came before. Dean Smith for getting us there. Steven Gerrard for being the shittest manager I've ever seen in my lifetime and really gave the club a kick up the arse to go and get a world-class manager. And of course, to Unai Emery, because what he's done within 18 months at the football club. This is his first full season at Aston Villa, and we've been riddled with injuries. He's not spent a lot of money himself, albeit there's been heavy investment in the squad in previous windows. A lot of these guys aren't his players, and we've secured Champions League football with a game to go. I'm honestly lost for words. There was someone who actually, I said that a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what podcast it was on. And somebody who clearly doesn't listen to the podcast frequently went, how can you be lost for words and talk for 35 minutes? Dislike. And I was just like, fuck you, man. We're justified for being lost for words tonight.
Mate, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is crazy. And I think what I love most about this is the fact that throughout the squad, particularly in the skipper, in John, in Tyrone, there are players who have been on the entire journey with us. And I think that's incredible. And obviously that's just within the playing staff. Behind the scenes, there are people at the club that have, you know, gone even before that back to the relegation, and I've seen this kind of tumultuous period turn into, frankly, out of nowhere, one of, well, I think we can say the best time for the club in recent memory, in living memory for some people. And you and I, mate, you know, this is the first time you and I would have ever seen Aston Villa in the Champions League. To be technical, it is the first time Aston Villa have ever played in the Champions League, as it is now known. We'd have to go back to when it was known as the European Cup the last time we played on this stage. But the fact that, yeah, I mean, John McGinn now, I don't think a certified, probably the first one in our lifetime, mate, a bona fide Villa legend that can truly dine at the table of greats. And I don't think anyone would begrudge him that. You know, I think that's a word that kind of gets tossed around a lot. And, you know, we've kind of had, you know, very iconic players, definitely your Petrovs, your Jack Grealishes, you know, kind of players who, for one reason or another, will hold a very special place in a lot of people's hearts. But I think John McGinn, particularly for this journey he's been on, wearing the armband, will potentially, you know, walk us out at the Santiago Bernabeu, the Camp Nou, the Parc de France, the Allianz, the Westfalen Stadion. Like, he'll be leading those boys out in those kind of arenas, and we're guaranteed to get, you know, at least one of those, given that we'll be in the lower parts. And so I think that is amazing. And we kind of mentioned this a few weeks ago that, you know, should we do this, the fact that we're doing it with a very recognizable squad, and obviously there have been huge additions on the way, massive injections of quality, particularly this season, both on the field and in the coaching staff. But yeah, to have all of the squad that we know, that we recognize, that have seen, you know, even the lads that came after we got promoted, you know, Ollie, Emmy, all of those guys that have seen some real bad times for this football club as well, when relegation was very much on the cards for a second time in just a few years. To have put this club in the Champions League is fairy tale, mate. It really is fairy tale. And I can't even imagine what this summer will look like, what we've got in store, because boy oh boy, is this next 12 months going to be an incredible ride.
Oh mate, it is. And guys, on that note, you should make sure you've got the notification bell hit and you subscribe, because transfer rumour season will be in full flow come the end of the week. So Dan and I will be sure to keep you up to date with all the sort of ingoings, outgoings, whatever it may be. But you're right, mate, it's remarkable, isn't it? The journey, even someone like Courtney Hawes, who a lot of people probably forgot about, he obviously posted up yesterday. He was on the pitch at full time during the lap of appreciation. The last time he played for Aston Villa, I couldn't even tell you. It probably was under the tutelage of Gerrard. And now here we are. You know, we've gone from Championship. He's gone from Championship bound with Villa at that moment in time to Champions League. That's just, and I mean, that's not to say that Courtney Hawes is going to be a mainstay or whatever, but the journey that, but personally, professionally, all these guys have gone on, no matter when it was that they stepped their foot through the door, is nothing short of amazing. But we should probably talk a little bit about the game, mate, because that was bloody chaos. And I feel like it's the most Villa has been talked about in isolation of a single game since maybe, I mean, you could possibly argue the Man City game this season, but the scale of which this has been spoken about by the wider just Premier League football fan is enormous. I don't think we've been spoken about this much since the 7-2 against Liverpool. Everybody was encapsulated by this game. It was a fantastic affair for the neutral. Obviously, wasn't, you could argue, not great at times for Villa or Liverpool, but nevertheless, we're going to look back on this in a couple of years and this will be an absolute classic. You can already see this one on Premier League Years, mate, can't you? 3 p.m, Sky Sports will be playing this game back, and we will be eagerly waiting in anticipation for the John Jada Duran brace, won't we?
It's It was a crazy game, mate. It was a crazy game. But I think you make a very interesting point about kind of when we entered the public discussion, because one of, I think, the reasons for our success is that we very much haven't been. Villa have been going along with almost no noise coming outside of the club whatsoever. Ollie Watkins, and I genuinely try and say this without as much bias as possible, should be the Premier League player of the season.
Facts.
But he won't be. He won't be. Phil Foden or Declan Rice or Martin Odegaard or someone like that will win that award. And, you know, 19 goals and 13 assists. And outside of this Villa sphere, there's almost no noise about that whatsoever. It's crazy that given those numbers, you know, just a few months ago, just a few weeks ago, people were still debating, is it Tony? Is it Watkins?
Yeah.
The England squad? Like, I think those kind of debates just show you how little noise that has been going on around Villa generally. And I think it takes a 3-3, you know, barn burner, an absolute chaotic comeback in the last 5 minutes in a game that happened in isolation on its own on a Monday night, for people to finally look at Villa and go, oh yeah, they're all right. they could do a bit, this team. And so whilst I think at some points it has been frustrating, and it will be to the detriment of some players, it will be to the detriment of Ollie Watkins, who probably won't be, you know, Premier League player of the year, though he has just swept up, unsurprisingly, the club's internal award tonight. How much solace that will give him when we do see those Premier League end of season awards, I don't know. But I think it has been one of the best things that we've done, and whether that was conscious from inside the club, we don't know. But it's never really felt like the weight of the world was on Villa's shoulders, that we went into a game with the world watching, with the world expecting, with half of social media ready to clown us if we ever lost the game. It's very much felt like at points, kind of, we were just going about our business very, very quietly, very, very consistently. And I think that's a massive part of it. And yeah, it has been surprising the last couple of days, because I feel like people are really, really woken up to that. And I do think we'll see that over the next coming days as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And you can only hope that obviously the wider footballing world can appreciate Villa for what they are. Southgate was at the game. He was sat with Kieran McKenna as well. I don't know how much you read into that, or where you even read into that for, whether you look at the Man United links that have been there for both McKenna and Southgate or whatever. And it's just interesting, mate, isn't it? But this is a night, this is a game, this is, you know, we've seen people who have stepped up massively in this game, who Villa fans have written off for one reason or another. And, you know, for Moussa Diaby, I understand the frustrations. We've come on here many a time, mate, and gone, got to be stronger, got to be quicker, got to move the ball faster, got to be more confident. Please just beat a man, Moussa, do something. We know there's ability there. And this is why it frustrates me with Moussa, because you look at the other, you know, literally the other side in Leon Bailey, and mm-hmm. the journey that we have been on with Leon and how he's progressed and honestly become one of, if not our most important player in this side. And I look at Moussa, and you couldn't find two players whose one profile is extremely similar, but two have literally almost endured the same script. Obviously, knock on wood, Moussa's not had any injuries like Leon has as well, which has seriously hampered him. So it was really good to see Moussa have the game that he had. Honestly, best performance I think we've seen him play. Best 90 minutes for that we've seen from Moussa Diaby all season. It was absolutely phenomenal. John Duran as well. I think a lot of people had sort of questioned when he'd come on to the when he made his appearances sort of semi-recently, what he would offer tactically, all that kind of thing. The goals are just brilliant. The first one, what a finish. It's absolutely clinical, and we can't act like we haven't seen that from him before either. We know that his left foot is absolutely lethal. And what do you even say about the second one? That sums up Captain Chaos, doesn't it? But
mate, it was the full John Duran experience, wasn't it? It's 5 minutes.
It's such a short period of time for him to just explode, to take the game by the balls and do what he did against Liverpool as well, who, until they made that quadruple sub, were looking like they were going to probably score 4 or 5, really. You got to give him props. But mate, how long are we into the podcast and I've not spoke about my sweet prince, Callum Chambers? He's so important for that goal. He stepped up when it was needed most. And is that probably the last time we ever see Callum Chambers? Yes.
Yeah.
Boy, what a phenomenal, what a beautiful farewell for us to have. What a parting gift.
Truly, truly. I mean, it was really funny, actually. And I don't want to downplay the gaffer at all, but so much of the dialogue post-game, particularly on the broadcast, was, you know, inspired substitutions by Unai Emery. You know, to put Callum Chambers and John Duran off the bench and just come on and have the impact they have. And I'm like, look, I'm going to say it quietly for you, Unai, because I want you to get all the credit you deserve. That's not an inspired substitution. That's about the only substitution that Unai Emery could make. We had nobody else. But I mean, like, Cal, like, it's really hard. And, you know, you mentioned Courtney Wells, and it kind of falls into the same category. It is difficult to kind of see those boys struggling and struggling for minutes, particularly, I think, when the environment around the club is so good and everybody's so happy. It must be really, really tough for those boys at points to just kind of watch that happen and a bit at points kind of fake happiness yourself.
Yeah.
And smile for the other lads and, you know, cheer them on. And like, it must be psychologically very, very difficult. And I think for Cal to come on and basically play in midfield, really.
Yeah.
There were a couple of slightly wayward passes, but yeah, to come on and kind of, and I think you can, you know, we can throw John Duran kind of into that mix as well in terms of, you know, say what you want about John Duran. I know that I hope after the last night, maybe the jury is not as out as it was. And I hope that people are really starting to see that there's some real, real green shoots with that player. We know that there's potentially, or there's definitely been rumours, I think it's fair to say, about his unhappiness with game time throughout the season. But you cannot fault the drive and the ambition that he approaches every single minute with, whether he gets 20 minutes of garbage time at the end of a win or is sent on with 10 minutes to try and save a game. He approaches every single second with 110%, and it is so infectious. And, you know, I really think that those, you know, Callum Chambers and John Duran to come on and change it, players that their role in the squad has been so, you know, confusing over the season. You never really knew where those two players stood, what their kind of, when their next start was going to be, if their next start was ever going to come this season. For neither player, it did. It's amazing for them to come on. And I mean, John Duran, I said, you get the full experience. He is someone that I think will be banging on Unai Emery's door over the next few days, kind of going, what's the plan for next season? You know, every time he's just won our goal of the season award for another game in which he came on and saved the day against Crystal Palace earlier on in the season. I think there's more than enough, if I was John Duran, if I was his, you know, his team, his agent, whoever, to be banging on that door and saying, look, I need some minutes. And you have to say he's earned them.
Yeah, you do, mate. You do. He's been frustrating, but just a maverick, you know, all throughout the season. And there's clearly just bags and bags of potential and ability there. It's just about harnessing that in the correct manner, which I think John McGinn alluded to in his post-match press conference yesterday, didn't he, mate? You don't know what you're going to get. He's a bit of a bull in a china shop, but it almost, you know, you don't want to label him as generational, but the talent on display there is for all to be seen. I think as well, when you sort of talk about, again, to sort of bring it back to what the wider sort of view of and perception of Villa is from the footballing world, every time, you know, Duran makes a cameo and scores, I always get messages from rival fans going, well, that Duran looks like a bit of a handful. Do you not fancy starting him a little bit more? And, you know, obviously we've got Ollie Watkins, who is phenomenal, and it would be wrong to, you know, to have Duran usurp him just because of a couple of screamers. But, you know, Ollie's overall play obviously lends itself to that spot. But people are taking note of John Duran, and that must be great for him. And I really sincerely hope he stays, because I think he is an absolute maverick, and he's only going to get better, mate. But we should probably come back and talk about Crystal Palace in a day or two's time, mate, because we don't want to bring the tone of the podcast down a little bit. Well, let's end on a high. We're super happy. We cannot believe it, guys. Champions League football is coming to Villa Park. in less than 3 months. That's ridiculous. Oh my days, what a season, what a journey. Guys, as we said, we'll be back in a few days. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below on the season, on Champions League. And yeah, like, comment, subscribe. Up the Villa.